Good morning. Buenos dias. Thank you so much for waiting. Gracias por esperar. We're going to begin our press conference. We're going to hear first from Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levin-Cava. Vamos a escuchar primero las palabras de la alcaldesa Daniela Levin-Cava, followed by our chairman Oliver Gilbert. And we're going to have Creole interpretation after, and we're going to open up for questions. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We are very proud to share our proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year, and I want to thank our chairman, Oliver Gilbert III, for being with us here today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before going into our budget, I want to address two events that transpired over the weekend. On Saturday, our nation witnessed an unacceptable and reprehensible attack against former President Donald Trump. Political violence of any kind is unacceptable. Regardless of your beliefs, these attacks go against the very foundation of what our country stands for and the values we hold dear. We must stand together to keep one another safe. Our Miami-Dade Police Department was on alert all weekend and will continue monitoring to ensure the safety of our electoral process and all of our candidates. I also want to reiterate our statement from last night regarding the Copa America final game organized by CONMEBOL. I was outraged by the unprecedented events that took place. I want to thank every public safety personnel, all of them, for handling this challenging event and utilizing all possible resources to keep our attendees safe. To put this in perspective, with the additional resources we called up last night, in total, we had over 800 officers and members of other agencies on site, compared to just over 300 for the Super Bowl. And it's a credit to everyone present, especially the stadium team and the men and women of MDPD and our fire department, who ensured that everyone could exit safely after the game. We will be working with the organizers to ensure that a full review of last night's events takes place immediately so that we take all possible learnings going forward as we prepare for the 2026 World Cup. En español. Antes de hablar de nuestro presupuesto, quiero abordar dos eventos importantes que ocurrieron durante el fin de semana. El sábado, nuestra nación fue testigo de un ataque contra el expresidente Donald Trump. La violencia política de cualquier tipo es inaceptable. Independiente de sus creencias, estos ataques van en contra de los valores de nuestro país. Debemos seguir unidos para protegernos entre todos. Nuestro Departamento de Policía de Miami-Dade estuvo en alerta todo el fin de semana y seguirá monitoreando para garantizar la seguridad de las elecciones y de todos los candidatos. También quiero recordar nuestra declaración de anoche sobre la final de la Copa América, organizada por la CONMEBOL. Estoy indignada por lo que pasó antes del partido. Quiero agradecer especialmente a todos los miembros de la policía que respondieron a este evento sin precedentes para mantener seguros a los asistentes. Para ponerlo en perspectiva, con los recursos adicionales que pedimos anoche, en total tuvimos más de 800 oficiales y miembros de otras agencias. En comparación, en el Super Bowl solo hay un poco más de 300. Afortunadamente, la salida del estadio fue segura gracias a los oficiales de nuestra policía de Miami-Dade. Vamos a trabajar con los organizadores del evento para realizar una revisión completa de los eventos de anoche para mejorar para futuros eventos. Now let's continue with the reason we're here today, my proposed budget for fiscal year 24-25. This is my fourth budget cycle as your mayor, and I am very proud of everything that we've accomplished with the support of our Board of County Commissioners and the input of our community. We came out of the pandemic and we tackled the affordability crisis head on. We kept crime rates low and we accelerated the construction of tens of thousands of housing units. We worked hard to make sure each neighborhood received services and resources needed by listening to the input of each district commissioner and all stakeholders, including our community organizations, businesses, and more. We did all these things and more while cutting tax rates 2 years in a row, which totaled over $43 million in savings for taxpayers. With this year's proposed budget, we aim to deliver the same excellence in services that our residents expect and deserve. However, we have a unique set of circumstances which require a different approach this year. With Miami-Dade County set to go through its largest transformation in history, with five constitutional offices officially separating from our government in January 2025, we must essentially hit the reset button. This year, Miami-Dade voters will elect five constitutional officers: a sheriff, tax collector, property appraiser, clerk of the courts and comptroller, and supervisor of elections. This transition affects all aspects of our county government, but that is especially true for our budget. Though these offices are independent, we are required to fund them through the general fund. This is in addition to the cost of the transition itself, which we estimate may total up to $30 million in the first year. And that is why we are working diligently to ensure a smooth transition. We must set ourselves and these offices up for success, and we must ensure that our residents receive the same level of efficient and effective service without interruptions or delays. This is a top priority. At the same time, federal dollars that benefited communities across America during and post COVID-19 are no longer available. And as our county continues to boom, demand for county services continues to grow. Despite the constraints, we're working hard to make sure that we can continue to deliver the same services. This year, we're taking a more prudent approach than ever because we must be ready for the challenges of tomorrow. I am recommending that we maintain our current level of service with a flat millage rate to ensure that we can cover the costs of the new constitutional offices, especially in this transition year. And thanks to the tax rate cuts of the past two consecutive years, the tax rate is already historically low. It's the lowest since 1986. We know many of our residents continue to struggle with rising costs of living. By cutting the millage rate in the last 2 years, we did our part to provide relief to property owners because we know that everything helps. Every budget cycle, my priority is to meet the needs of our community while keeping taxes as low as possible and budgeting efficiently. And this year, we will be more measured than ever with our proposed budget to ensure there are no interruptions in service in the county or in the constitutional offices. Our fiscally responsible, accountable, and future-ready budget maintains the low tax rate of the past 2 years while making key investments in our community's core priorities: housing, transportation, public safety, small businesses, our environment, our families and older adults, and animal welfare. We will continue to build on the progress we've made to tackle the affordability crisis. We'll continue to build tens of thousands of additional units of workforce and affordable housing. There are 8,700 more multifamily units in the pipeline today with direct county funding. We will deepen our commitment to providing resources to residents through the new Office of Housing Advocacy. And we will continue to implement the Historic Homes Plan, providing relief for renters and homeowners and working to accelerate construction. Along with housing, we are building on our success in drawing down federal and state grant dollars for our critical infrastructure. Since 2022, my administration has brought down approximately $1.5 billion in competitive federal and state grant funding to accelerate projects that enhance our community's resilience and our economic vitality. This includes competitive grant awards for the South Florida Climate Ready Tech Hub, the only federally designated climate tech hub in the nation. Our budget also includes Vision Zero, infrastructure improvements for traffic, pedestrian and bicycle safety, and over $500 million in capital projects for our water and wastewater system this year alone, the largest water infrastructure project in Florida history. I'm very proud to share that in total, we have completed over $2 billion in water projects since I became mayor. Our airport and seaport are experiencing unprecedented growth. Just at MIA, we're seeing a 10% growth in passengers after breaking records last year. We're working hard to modernize these major economic engines and ensure that they are future ready. Shore power is here at Port Miami, which allows cruise ships to plug into our electric grid and reduce emissions and pollution, and two iconic new terminals are underway. And MIA is a prime example of modernization in action as we invest a historic $9 billion in maintenance and capital improvements. Looking ahead, we're thrilled that the Federal Transit Administration has proposed $264 million for the Northeast Corridor in the fiscal year 25 federal budget, a critical project to better connect our community, and we're moving steadily forward on the North Corridor, thanks to a federal earmark that will allow us to complete the necessary studies while we continue to work closely with FDOT to get it done. We implemented the Better Bus Network after 40 years of status quo. We're continuously listening and implementing changes based on your feedback, and more people are riding transit, including roughly 10,000 more people per day on buses. As always, we're continuing to fund the SMART program. The South Dade Transitway is scheduled to complete construction this year. It's the longest electric bus rapid transit system in the whole world. And we'll be working with the new sheriff's office to keep our officers and communities safe as we manage the transition in the year ahead. We'll continue to prioritize public safety. We're going to curb gun violence through the county's landmark Peace and Prosperity Plan, and we're making upgrades to critical crime-fighting technology. Safeguarding our environment is critical to our economic prosperity as well, and we recently experienced extreme rain, and we'll continue to see more heat, storms, and floods. And that is why, through this budget, we're working to address heat and protect our most vulnerable residents. We're recognized globally for leading the way in heat protection. We will continue our path to net zero through solar installations and fleet electrification. We're creating savings for our residents and a cleaner local economy by reducing our carbon footprint. And we recommit to protecting Biscayne Bay, the blue heart of our economy, which provides an estimated $64 billion of economic impact each year. We're continuing innovative economic programs like Strive 305, which is already serving about 15,000 small businesses with mentorship, access to resources and grants, courses, loans, and much more. Our people are our greatest asset, so of course we're investing in opportunity for our families and older adults. We recently launched Zero Drownings Miami-Dade to serve 20,000 children annually through our parks and working with our school system and to save lives. And this year's budget funds a range of social services, from job placement to eviction prevention at our No Wrong Door community resource centers. And last but not least, we're looking out for all the pets in county care. We're increasing spay-neuter services. We're helping people keep their pets with food and veterinary care. And we're adding more resources to take care of pets in our shelters. You can learn more about all these priorities and investments in this year's budget at miamidade.gov/budget. We will continue to ensure that the public's voices are heard in this process. I encourage our residents to join our upcoming budget town halls. These will be announced in the coming weeks. So in summary, this is a responsible, accountable, and future-ready budget that ensures our fiscal foundation is secure. Despite these constraints, we are facing for the first time in history, we are maintaining critical services for our community. I want to thank our budget team who skillfully put together a budget this year, as they do each year, to reflect our community's needs and priorities. They worked especially hard this year. Through smart budgeting and efficient use of tax dollars, we will continue to deliver critical, high-quality services that our community needs and deserves. I look forward to working closely with our Board of County Commissioners to finalize this budget and ensure a strong local economy and county. Thank you. Spanish? En español. Okay. Buenos días. Esto es mi cuarto presupuesto como alcaldesa y estoy muy orgullosa de todo lo que hemos logrado con el apoyo de la Junta de Comisionados del Condado. En los últimos 4 años salimos de la pandemia y enfrentamos la crisis de asequibilidad, bajamos los índices de violencia, aceleramos la construcción de vivienda y reformamos nuestro sistema de buses. Hicimos todo eso y más mientras bajamos las tasas de impuestos por 2 años seguidos, generando más de 43 millones en ahorros para los residentes. Con el presupuesto para el próximo año fiscal, queremos seguir ofreciendo los servicios de calidad que nuestros residentes necesitan y merecen. Pero estamos pasando por la transformación más importante de nuestra historia. 5 oficinas se van a separar oficialmente de nuestro gobierno. El próximo año, Miami-Dade tendrá un sheriff, un recaudador de impuestos, un tasador de propiedades, un secretario de los tribunales y un supervisor de elecciones que van a ser elegidos por los residentes. Estas oficinas deben ser financiadas con el Fondo General y la transición costará $30 millones en el primer año. Además, no vamos a recibir los fondos federales que tanto nos ayudaron después de la pandemia. Por eso, este año estoy proponiendo un presupuesto más prudente, fiscalmente responsable y preparado para el futuro, con una tasa de impuestos fija para que podamos cubrir los costos de las nuevas oficinas constitucionales, fondos para seguir ofreciendo los servicios que nuestros residentes necesitan e inversiones clave en las prioridades de nuestra comunidad: vivienda, transporte, seguridad pública, pequeñas empresas, el medio ambiente, nuestras familias y adultos mayores y el bienestar de los animales y mascotas. Pueden ver más información sobre todas las prioridades y inversiones en el presupuesto de este año en miamidade.gov/budget. También los invito a que participen en las reuniones públicas sobre el presupuesto, que se anunciarán pronto. Como su alcaldesa, mi objetivo es asegurar que nuestro gobierno siga funcionando de manera eficiente y que todos nuestros residentes sigan recibiendo los servicios del condado en los que hemos invertido tanto antes. Espero colaborar con la Junta de Comisionados del Condado para finalizar este presupuesto y garantizar una economía local y un condado fuertes. Gracias.
Thank you, Mayor. We're going to hear now from our chairman from the Board of County Commissioners, Oliver Gilbert.
Good morning, and Mayor, first, thank you. Thank all the budget staff. Just from our perspective, first, I'll just say a couple of things about last night. We host a lot of big events here in South Florida. We're in the business of hosting big events. We host big events well. I've never seen anything like that last night, like I saw last night, and we're not gonna see that again. One of the things, and we'll review with the promoters, we'll review with the stadium. Law enforcement acted admirably, as they are prone to do. But a large part of this is actually self-regulation also. We've had 100,000 people on that campus before and they've never done anything like that. Some things aren't gonna be acceptable in our community. That's gonna be one of them. We're gonna come here, we're gonna go to that stadium, we're gonna have a good time, we're gonna enjoy and root for our team against another team, and we're gonna all do it safely. That's the expectation of the mayor, that's the expectation of the commission, that's the expectation of the stadium. We will all work towards that end. That has to be the understanding of the people we're visiting also. And so I just wanted to say that. Also, with regard to political violence or violence of any type, listen, the attack on former President Trump is an attack on America. When we resort to violence to solve problems in this way, we are literally doing one of the things that kind of forced us to become a country, America. America itself, this civic experiment, we stand for the proposition that we can actually transition power. We can have political debates. We can speak as a country during our election, and then we can move forward together. We don't need violence to solve our problems. We need more conversation and more cooperation. And it's my expectation that in this county, that's what we will do. We won't ever solve our problems that way. With regard to the budget, it's going to be a very difficult year. The mayor alluded to it. You know, we have the constitutional officers coming online. We've known this is coming for a while, and we've talked about it with folks for a while. What we understand is that while they will be separate, they'll have their own entities of some sort. Our charge collectively is to do the same thing. We have to give people the same service that they've gotten before. And so we're going to work together with the administration, with the constitutional officers to get that done. It will not be without some growing pains. You don't break up a government this big all in 1 year without growing pains. But it's my commitment as the chairman and as a commissioner, I know it's the mayor's commitment, as the leader of our community, that we'll make the transition as painless as possible, with the understanding that we all represent and serve the same people. We're all here to do this one thing, to make sure that folks have an opportunity to get up, to go to work, to spend time with their families, to build their business, to come here and visit, that those services are as seamlessly provided as they have been before. And so I look forward to working with the mayor. I know the commission looks forward to working with the mayor to crafting a budget that is reflective of that desire and representative of the values and the needs of a great community. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Chairman. We're going to have our Creole interpretation now. Thank you, Lionel.
Bonjour tout le monde. Je dis à ma présenter quatrième budget que l'administration ça a réalisé ensemble avec participation au conseil commissionnaire compte Miami de Dieu. Pendant 2 années qui sont passées, il y a un effort qui était fait pour te réduire le niveau taxe qui était gagné sous population. Et l'effort ça a été arrivé à niveau 43 millions de dollars. Et même service a continué à offrir à public là, à population, à résidents de New York. Année ça, année qui va venir, pour gagner un changement qui a fait et pour gagner 5 bureaux constitutionnels qui pourra l'ouvrir. Et bureau constitutionnel, ça pourra exiger certainement des dépenses. Et pendant la période, ça pourra gagner 30 millions de dollars que pourra offrir à bureau yo pour être capable de prendre service yo pendant la période de transition. Proposition budget qui fait année ça, c'est une proposition budget qui est assez responsable, qui a mis taxes assez bas pendant que les efforts qui a fait pour résidents ont continué à recevoir le même service que habitués à recevoir. Pendant ce temps, il y a un service clé que vous ne pouvez pas négliger. Service clé, concours logement, transport public, service concours e-business, service concours sécurité publique, environnement, service pour famille avec grand monde âgé et ensuite pour animaux. Vous êtes capable de joindre plus d'informations sur le budget ANISA sur miamidade.gov/budget. Merci.
Thank you very much. We're going to open up for questions. I really encourage members of the media to follow up with questions about the budget first. If there's any other topics, we can address them later. Vamos a abrir para preguntas. Les pido que si hay preguntas sobre el presupuesto, empecemos con esas y después abrimos para otras preguntas. Gracias.
I'm sorry, we are going to start with a soccer question. Mayor, what went wrong last night and why were so many fans allowed?
Doug, but
I'm sorry, let me finish my question at the press conference. Why were so many fans allowed to get to the ticket, to the entrance of the stadium without tickets?
Let me answer. We definitely want to answer those questions, but we want to acknowledge that we're at a press conference about the budget, so we want to know if there's any other questions about the budget.
We understand that people are struggling, and we have really done 2 years in a row something that would bring down the millage significantly, but we also have a responsibility to prepare a responsible budget that maintains the services that the public expects and demands. So we've done our best to make sure that we're on solid financial footing, especially given the changes, the transition to the constitutional officers. This is the responsible approach.
Are you concerned about any kind of campaign consumption messaging.
I am going to do my job as mayor to make sure that we are on solid footing moving forward. That is my focus.
How about a similar question in Spanish, please? Your opponent, well, you explained that you've reduced the tax rate for 2 years. He says that taxes are going up because of property values and maintaining the millage rate flat. In Spanish, how would you respond to why that is, according to your budget, necessary right now?
In español. Es muy importante que durante los 2 años atrás hicimos los cortes en la medida de los impuestos. Y aunque las propiedades están subiendo en valor, sabemos que hemos bajado el millage, que eso va a ayudar ahora y en el futuro porque mantenga the rate, el millage, en este nivel. Desde 1986 no tuvimos este nivel, entonces eso es muy, muy significante. En este año tenemos que balancear las necesidades del futuro, los cambios, las transiciones de las oficinas constitucionales, y es mi responsabilidad como la alcaldesa de proponer un presupuesto responsable fiscalmente para el futuro. Tenemos que seguir adelante con los servicios y estamos recibiendo demanda para más servicios todavía con la economía creciendo.
Y brevemente dijo que este fue un presupuesto más prudente debido a los cambios. ¿Dónde hubo algunos recortes entonces? ¿Dónde se pudo ahorrar un poco de dinero del presupuesto?
Estamos trabajando, preparando los acuerdos de transición para las 5 oficinas constitucionales, para no gastar demasiado, solamente lo necesario para el futuro, porque muchos de ellos tal vez van a querer hacer varias cosas y en el futuro vamos a tener que hablar de los cambios. Para el año entrante estamos siguiendo con los servicios que sabemos son necesarios, por ejemplo.
Mayor Cava. This is Alexander Nusho with iHeart Podcast Network. Are you in favor of the straw vote for expanding the transportation system? If yes, where is the funding going to come from? And my second question is, despite the fact that the millage rate went down, overall, a lot of my viewers and listeners that live in Miami-Dade County, unincorporated areas, are complaining that property taxes went up. Would you care to comment on both of those questions, please?
Yes, so the straw poll question, which is sponsored by our chairman, if he would care to respond to it. But yes, I believe that it's an important question for the public, so I'll allow him to answer that. And as far as the other question, you know, we live in a community which is very attractive. A lot of people who've moved here, property values have gone up, and we have really tried hard to balance the fact that people are having a hard time paying bills with a high cost of living, and we were able to reduce the tax rate 2 years in a row. And this year, because of the challenges in the transition, this is the best approach, or we'll be facing the need to cut services.
But how come you're saying the taxes went down, and it's by all the
okay.
residents of Miami-Dade
okay.
are saying
we said the tax rates went down. Thank you.
You know, on the ballot question, rapid mass transit has to happen. Look, it needed to happen 40 years ago. It didn't happen 40 years ago. We talk about how much it's going to cost. We're going to price out the SMART plan and the SMART program. But in truth, right now, the average rider is costing them $1,800 a month to sit in congestion. $8 billion we leave on the roads every year as an urbanized area. So the question isn't whether we need to do it. It's we needed to do it 30, 40 years ago. We have to do it now. Look, we have people moving here. We need rapid mass transit. We talk about being a world-class community. You don't see a world-class community that's flat, and you don't see a world-class community without rapid mass transit. The ballot question is meant to actually start that conversation with the public, because for far too long we've been saying we're going to do something. It's not going to be easy and it's not going to be cheap, but we're paying more right now. We will continue to pay more. $8 billion a year. That's what we leave on our roads in congestion. And so there's this prevailing idea that you can have something and you can continue to be great and it's going to be free. It's not going to be free. We have to invest in this community, in the infrastructure in this community, for this community, for the future. We have to do it, and we need to start now. I put that ballot question on there because I want people talking about rapid mass transit. They've been promising it since I was a young boy. I'm 51 years old now. It's time we either do it or tell people we're not going to do it. But we're going to have an open and honest conversation about it.
If it gets approved, where's the funding going to come from?
We'll figure it out. If it gets approved, we'll talk to the residents about that also. Because right now, we know they're paying. We know that they're paying. We know what it's costing to sit in congestion. And we know, when you talk to businesses, one of the things we know that traffic congestion is a problem and workforce training is a problem. Those things going forward from a future perspective, we have to deal with. So if it's the TID item that's on the agenda that takes money and the increase in value along those corridors and invests back in, that'll be a piece of it. We'll lean on our federal and our state partners. That will be a piece of it. But we will have to figure that out the same way we figure out everything else, because what we know is we can't continue on this path. When we talk about housing prices going up, the reason why we have housing prices is because we don't have enough supply. We need those corridors active, and we need people building density along those corridors so you can affect the basic principles of supply and demand. So it's easy for people to criticize and say, where is it going to come from? Where is it coming from right now? People are paying it right now. They're paying it right now. And so I look forward to having a conversation with anyone about rapid mass transit, because I'm going to need you to give me the alternative. Because the alternative in the past has been, let's just sit and wait and hope it gets better. It's not going to get better. It's only gotten worse. It gets worse every year. So as a community, we have to decide what we really want. Do we really want a community that can move around, that actually is resilient, that has housing, that's accessible for the people who work here? Or do we want to keep investing in a community that's going to be stuck in traffic for the next decade? We need to start doing this.
Any more questions?
I just wanted to add that when you reduce the millage rate, it means that people are paying less in property taxes than if the millage rate had not gone down. So obviously that was a significant amount of money as well. Yes.
Yeah. Could I just return to the soccer question? What went wrong last night? Okay. And why were so many fans allowed to get to the entrance of the stadium without tickets?
Okay. As we've said, what happened last night was truly unprecedented. And we did obviously try very hard to make sure that people would not come if they were not ticketed. Unfortunately, many did show up nonetheless. And we are doing a very thorough deep dive into everything that happened so that we can learn from it for the future. And the good news is that people were not hurt, and that the game went on and Argentina won.
The videos posted on social media, it's a disaster, it's an embarrassment. How do you respond to that? The whole world watched as this happened.
Yes. So I can tell you, because I was in the control room the entire time, that we worked very seamlessly together, all of the key organizers, to deal with everything that was happening and to do our very best to reduce the risk of danger or harm, and to have the game go on. And it did go on, and it was successfully played, and no further incidents happened. So we certainly recognize that there's a lot to be learned and a lot that we can improve upon in the future. And we stand here to tell you that we're ready to learn everything we can. Sí, sí, sí. Yo puedo decir que eso fue un precedente, que estábamos allí mirando exactamente lo que estaba pasando, y juntos con todos los organizadores y los policías, el estadio y todo, decidiendo lo que tuvimos que hacer para proteger todos que estaban allí, y gracias a Dios sí salió sin heridas, y jugaron y alguien ganó y tuvimos éxito con todo eso, pero sí estamos haciendo una prueba muy profunda para aprender todo que podamos y para mejorar para el futuro. Y sabemos que podemos trabajar juntos para resolver los problemas en el momento, pero sí tenemos que prepararnos mejor para el futuro.
Porque viene un mundial 2025.
Claro, estamos todos nosotros pensando y preparando para esto.
Mayor, I'm concerned about the future events, seven World Cup matches coming here in 2026. More than 800 officers, that's an awful lot of officers. I don't know what it takes to quell that, but what are your thoughts about the future?
I think that we have learned many important things from this event. We were able to quickly mobilize with all of the necessary players, get additional assistance, avoid any major injuries. The game was played, and people left peacefully. So we've learned many things. We're doing a deep dive. We're meeting with all of the essential players, starting immediately, to learn what we can learn. And good news was that traffic was managed rather well, and again, we were able to quell any further difficulties, and the game went on.
Who's making the decisions?
You said you were in the control room. Who is making?
Patty, we're going to go for Cesar, and then we're coming.
Volviendo al presupuesto, el presupuesto del año pasado fue el presupuesto mayor de la historia, 11,700 millones. El presupuesto que usted está proponiendo va a ser superior al presupuesto del año pasado en cuanto y cómo. ¿Y cómo va a influir en el pago de los impuestos de los propietarios del sur de la Florida? ¿Pagarán más impuestos que el año pasado también?
Estamos proponiendo un millage, el rate, igual como el año pasado, y con estos fondos vamos a poder tener un presupuesto balanceado, y no tenemos ninguna mejorancias en el presupuesto, pero estamos con los servicios siguiendo como antes.
¿Pero a cuánto ascenderá más o menos?
The growth you said was about 8%?
About 8% in the general fund.
En el fondo general, más o menos 8%.
¿Subirá un 8%?
En el fondo general, sí.
¿Y los impuestos?
Al nivel igual, como antes. George, you want to try to answer the question?
I will try.
No, come. Nuestro director deputado.
I sneakily tried to stay
Deputivo
in the back, but buenos días.
Right.
Los impuestos están al mismo nivel que el año pasado. Eso quiere decir que si usted paga 4 mils, va a seguir pagando lo mismo, los 4 mils.
Más el 3% anual, ¿no?
Bueno, dependiendo de la casa y de donde usted vive, porque hay varios taxing districts en este condado. El condado tiene 5 de los tantos. So depende lo que hacen las otras organizaciones, si lo suben o lo bajan. So, eso también depende de lo que uno va a pagar en un año. Oh, sorry.
Okay, so. Thank you, Mayor. So when you said, two questions. You said you were in the control room. Does that mean you were in the stadium or in one of the trailers around it? And then who is in charge? Who makes the calls of how many people can be let in, of when the gates go down, of who's allowed to go in? Is that
So there's a control room with cameras on every aspect of the stadium that is within the stadium itself, and that is where the security forces are during the event and prior to the event. And not only the stadium security staff, but our police department, our fire department, our Florida Department of Transportation, our state highway patrol, the CONMEBOL, the stadium leadership. So quite a large group of people were there. There's an incident commander from the police department, and then all of us are there as well, and we were having ongoing conversations throughout.
Okay, who was in charge? Who made the decision of opening the stadium at the time they did, or not opening it at the time?
Yes,
they
yes.
Did, of letting the gates open for a while to let people in. Is that the police department?
So there is an incident commander and in the police department that handles the security issues, let's say outside, and then also inside with the support of the security at the stadium.
So the decision to open the gates is the police department, it's not the stadium's
I cannot tell you exactly precisely at this moment, but we were all there talking about it, and we're going to all debrief. Okay. La pregunta fue qué estaba pasando durante esa ocasión, el incidente, que hay un cuarto con cámaras en todos lugares del estadio, y allí tenemos los policías, los bomberos, oficiales del estadio, varias agencias estatales. Eso es una propiedad privada que pertenece a Hard Rock Stadium. No es ellos están encargados, pero para la seguridad tuvimos un manager del incidente, de miembro de los policías, y mirando a todo y decidiendo con la ayuda de la seguridad del estadio cómo hacerlo.
Mayor, we have the chair also.
Just a couple of things. When you say what went wrong, the reason why it's difficult to answer that question is because we need to actually get information. Sometimes people want you to give an opinion before you assess all the facts. And so, we learned that last night was horrible, but that's one thing we learned. But the other thing is actually figuring it out. So sitting down and talking to the folks is part of actually giving your opinion about what went wrong. Because you need to actually listen to people and not form your opinion before you actually gather the facts. That's one thing. The second thing, promoters typically decide when you're going to open gates. That's our law enforcement and stadium operations. They coordinate. And when she says that people were in the room, it's a consensus building, because ultimately we're all there for one reason. They want to enjoy soccer, but we want everybody to do it safely. And so that's kind of what happens. There'll be more on this after you get all the information, but it did just happen last night. And I'm grateful, and by the grace of God, no one was hurt. So when we see the pictures, I saw the pictures also. That's my hometown. That's Miami Gardens. It was horrible. And so our commitment is to study everything that happened and to do the best that we can to make sure it doesn't happen again, with the understanding that there were 65,000 people there last night. We're never going to have a person-for-person for law enforcement. So we're not going to put 65,000 officers. We can't put 65,000 officers there. What we are going to do is look at the infrastructure to see what could be done better, and also reiterate the code of conduct that needs to be that needs to be observed. Because ultimately, people are going to have to self-regulate. Look, there have been more people at the stadium than was there last night. And they've been like rolling louds at the stadium. We've had 50,000 kids who are out of their minds, and they've never done anything like that before. So it's let's just put it all in perspective. In law school, they used to say big cases make bad law. And I would hate for us to sit here and look at this one bad instance and ignore the fact that we have a track record in this community of doing really big events very well. We do them very well. And so we're going to see what happened with the stadium, their good partners, with MDPD, with Miami Gardens, and then we're going to try to make sure it never happens again.
Right.
Ms. Mayor Cava, how would you answer to the taxpayers that a lot of them are criticizing you in the sense that you installed Chief James Reyes, who has no experience, to head the Miami-Dade Police Department, and because of that decision that you made, and James Reyes is inexperienced, this is what happened. This is all pinned on you and Mr. Reyes. How would you like to answer that to the taxpayers, please?
I'm very proud of my staff. We did really an amazing job saving lives yesterday, making sure everyone was safe, and I'm grateful for all of their help and support. Yeah, and we're going to wrap it up.
Where is she?
Thank you very much.
Why is that from MDPD here? Where is she, right?
It's a budget press conference. But thank you, everyone, very much. The mayor needs to leave right now.
Do you think the contingent that went to the RNC, the Rapid Deployment Force, might have made a difference here? Did that matter?
Apparently, that's standard procedure. And we had our PRT team with us. We had 800 officers in total. So, no, I don't think so.
Okay.